This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Blaise Joseph is an education policy analyst, and he's been specialising in policy relating to education funding in Australia. He's recently been working as a research fellow with Jennifer Buckingham on school funding models. He's a Bachelor of Commerce, a co-op scholarship, and a Master of Teaching from the University of New South Wales. He's had experience working in government for the Federal Department of Communications and the New South Wales Treasury, and in the private sector for ING Direct and Axiom Forensics. Blaise has also worked as a secondary school teacher prior to joining the Centre for Independent Studies. You've got a big passion for education, Blaise. Good morning.
Good morning, Macca.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Here in Sydney today.
Yeah, beautiful day here in Melbourne too. Now, education is something that obviously all of us need. Most of us have had. Some of us have wasted it, like me. My co-host is Chris Weinberg, and Chris is a maths and economics teacher.
Correct.
Chris.
Well done, Macca.
Oh, great.
Literacy. Now, I work in the private sector, and I am actually amazed from time to time. Thank God for spell check and grammar check, but that seemingly people with, you know, very significant and difficult degrees can't spell and can't write. And also have trouble reading sometimes. Or am I experiencing something unusual, or is this what's happening out there?
No, that's absolutely right, Macca. Look, the fundamentals, literacy and numeracy. So basically after a while, by the time you've graduated and you're at university, in a sense it's almost too late to pick up those basic fundamental skills. It's really important that they learned in primary school, to an extent in secondary school, but really is important those early years are sort of the vital years for learning literacy and numeracy. And so, yeah, there is a trend in Australia, unfortunately, in the international tests, that those fundamental skills of literacy and numeracy have actually been declining in Australia. So we do have a big problem in Australia, and that's sort of the, I guess that's the fundamentals, that's the building blocks upon which everything else can get based, your analytical skills and everything. So that is sort of, in my opinion, that's certainly the key challenge facing Australia's education system at the moment.
So, Blaise, would you say a major driver of this is the quality of the teachers? And I know from my experience, one of the big issues is the fact that a lot of teachers in the education system lack the exceptional level of skills in these areas.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Chris. That's certainly correct. There's been a range of surveys now that indicate that especially first-year teachers feel unprepared when they go into the classroom. And certainly that's the case with respect to literacy and numeracy. And there is also a concern that university teaching degrees don't focus enough on literacy and numeracy and focus too much on non-core teaching skills. So there certainly needs to be, in a sense, a refocusing of the education of teachers to really focus on literacy and numeracy. I mean, to give one example, now the government has made it compulsory that people who are doing teaching degrees have to do a test to show that their own literacy and numeracy is okay. Now, if we've got to the stage where teachers in university need to be tested for literacy and numeracy, what does that say about the state of our education system?
Would you say, Blaise, that you're seeing, are there any examples of universities around the country that are sort of showing the way forward of sort of striking a balance between the rigorousness that's required in these skills but also providing a well-rounded teacher training experience?
Certainly. I mean, it varies a lot from university to university and from course to course. Overall, the focus of the education system has to be on the fundamentals. Now, to an extent, as far as we can tell, based on the surveys, a lot of early teachers just don't feel prepared, and don't feel prepared in particular with respect to teaching literacy and numeracy. So I think it does require a bit of redirection, if you like, from the universities. But I think also the government needs to, I suppose the government needs to consider again the way we accredit the accreditation of teachers, what teachers need to do,
and Blaise,
to be able to get into the classroom.
Yeah, and Blaise, overall of this is some of the work that you've been doing at the Centre for Independent Studies is highlighting the fact that as we speak, the fact that kids are in schools learning in subjects, potentially working towards jobs that may not exist in 5 to 10 to 20 years' time. Mm. Do you think that is a significant problem we're not talking enough about?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely correct as well. So I suppose in the old days, you could go to school, come out of year 12, and there used to be potentially lots of jobs open to you, which you could potentially get just with a year 12 certificate or even without a year 12 certificate. But what we're seeing now is that increasingly, it's important that you have at least some sort of post-secondary education to get a good, consistent, well-paying job. One interesting thing is as well, one of the bright lights coming out of the latest data seems to be that apprenticeships and traineeships are having very high employment rates of graduates. So around 92% of people who complete an apprenticeship or traineeship get a full-time job on completion. Now, that's compared to about 71% of university graduates. And I suppose the other concern I have, which has been raised recently, is that there's lots of people going to university now who, in a sense, are sort of who aren't well suited to university or just don't have the motivation to perform well at uni. And the result of that is that now around 1 in 3 university students end up dropping out before they've completed their degree. And so they've dropped out, they have a big hex debt, and they haven't really got anything to show for it. So that's another concerning trend.
I'm fascinated, and not being a teacher, that there has to be a test for a teacher that they have literacy and numeracy skills.
Yeah.
I just find that remarkable that you know, we're investing so much into education. I think a lot of that money is misplaced, but we're investing so much in education, and the very people that are going to be teaching our kids for the future don't have the right literacy and numeracy skills. I mean,
yeah, well, exactly right. I
mean, where's the logic?
Well, exactly, that's the problem. I mean, if they don't have literacy and numeracy skills, what hope have they got of possibly passing on literacy and numeracy to the kids they're teaching? That's the issue. And so, I mean, I suppose part of that is trying to get a higher level of graduates coming into the teaching degrees, so trying to ensure that people who go into teaching degrees have decent ATARs, obviously have decent core skills. But at the same time as well, it's, in a sense, it's a bit of an indictment on our school system that there are people coming out and who don't have decent literacy and numeracy skills. And I think the important thing here, really, the important thing, Macca, is that we need to raise the minimum standard. Mm. There's always going to be differences between the top end and the bottom end in terms of literacy and numeracy. But we just need a good, decent minimum standard. And I think once we get that, it's a lot easier to sort of build on that to try to teaching broader capabilities.
If you had the ability, Blaise, to do a couple of initiatives in the education system to improve this, where do you start? Now, obviously, you know, you've got, you know, people coming through primary, secondary, tertiary, but where do you start? You said earlier you've really got to start this at the primary level. So is that one of the things that you'd put an increased focus on?
Well, that's right, Macca. And so there's a specific proposal which my colleague Jennifer Buckingham at the CIS has been working on, and it looks like the government's going to be moving towards this over the next few years. And it's something called a literacy and numeracy check in year one. So quite often you have students who come into year one and they don't have decent literacy and numeracy skills, but it's not discovered until a few years later, and they've already fallen behind by then. So the idea is to have an entry-level check just to check that their literacy skills are okay. And specifically in regards to phonics, so something known as a phonics check, which if you do in year one, and if you get your head around phonics within the first couple of years, it makes it a lot easier for students to then, for basically little kids to then build on that and be able to develop good literacy skills to understand the English language, to understand how to write and read better. Mm. So Blaise, I think that's one of the key things, to have that early test.
Yeah, so Blaise, how would you respond to parents saying, why are you testing my kid at such a young age? I mean, we live in a culture of NAPLAN and a lot of standardised assessments. How do you respond to critics who may say you're over-testing young children?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose the thing is, this isn't actually, I should clarify, this isn't actually a test. It's more of just a quick check. And we're talking about something, a very light assessment, probably taking in total maybe 5 to 10 minutes. That's really how long it takes to just to do a quick check to see if the student needs extra help early on to further develop their literacy skills. And then, once you've identified students who need that extra early help early on, it's much easier to help them, and then they don't fall behind as much. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there is a genuine concern of some parents that we can tend to focus too much on testing, and that's why it's important that early checks like this are quite light on assessments and very quick, and they're specifically for the purpose of trying to help kids not fall behind.
So, Blaise, do you reckon as part of these kinds of policy changes, we need to communicate with parents and other stakeholders regarding kids' education more effectively about the purpose behind some of these reforms?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And I think, at the end of the day, I mean, the parents really do have a huge amount of impact on the education of the child. And, you know, even just little things like reading to the kid early on in the first few years, talking to them as they're taking them through the park and pointing out words, things like that, they have such a huge effect eventually on things like a language and being able to have decent levels of literacy. Absolutely, it's important that parents are fully engaged in the process.
And the second thing, you know, on your wish list, Blaise, that, starting the literacy and numeracy assessments very early, but what would be the second thing that you'd like, you know, if you had a magic wand?
Well, I think the second thing would definitely be in regards to teacher education and trying to get a more fundamental grounding for all teachers who come out. To give my personal example, when I did my teaching degree a few years ago, in the entire degree there was one course on literacy and numeracy, and ironically there was actually no numeracy in that course. But that aside, one course in the entire degree, and then there was only a very small amount on classroom management, on assessment, on being able to teach in an engaged manner. And there's a lot of focus on other things, I suppose, peripheral things like, for example, political contexts of education, which are all well and good, but the point is they're not the fundamentals.
Yeah.
So I think if I had a magic wand, I think university teacher degrees would be refocused towards the really core important skills for teachers to have.
No argument from Chris or I.
That's good. Yeah. I'm not used to that at all.
agreement is good. Look, we've run out of time, Blaise, but I encourage our listeners, do your Googling, but the Centre for Independent Studies are doing a lot of work in this, a lot of good work, getting the debate going, having some influence on government policy, and CIS are very good, you know, they regularly provide us with guests, so I want to thank them for that. Once again, Blaise, thank you, and let's get you back in a couple of months, and as this policy...
Potentially after the budget?
After the budget. Let's see how whether the government takes it up and whether it's what you guys think is the best thing.
Yeah, I'd love to. Great. Thanks, Smacker. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Blaise Joseph from the Centre for Independent Studies.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.